we're going to start out chill.
Yeah.
I want to make it really bassy. I want to figure out a way to for everyone to... Well, you know what? We're going to buy everybody some subwoofer headphones.
Yeah, there you
go. That way when I go...
This
I want a tooth to fall out. I want it to really shake their skulls.
I notice as we've done this each day, my voice has been a little bit deeper each time.
You're just kind of settling in there.
Yeah.
Guys. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers, the best damn podcast you can put your ears into. This is a podcast where we talk about movies.
TV shows.
Comics.
Cryptids.
UFOs.
Perfect.
Did I say yeah, we did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was in there.
Sorry. A little early, everybody. We're going, the big shout out to everyone on Patreon who supports us in any way, specifically the people who are watching us live this morning. Love you guys. But also to everybody who's been watching all of our Fantastic Fest coverage over the week, because the boy people, we've done our first trip. We are in Austin, Texas.
Is this the boy people's first trip? It is.
The first trip. It's a special trip.
Yeah.
And we are coming to you live from Austin, Texas at Fantastic Fest.
Now, it is 9 a.m. here in Austin. However, in boy people time, it's 7 a.m., which explains why we're...
Sam drank yesterday time. It's about 3 a.m., so we're going to do our best.
Hey, that's all they expect from us.
Yeah, that's right. Today's best is going to be a little worse than the normal best. But for people who don't know, Fantastic Fest is a genre film festival, meaning we get to watch foreign films, sci-fi, fantasy,
horror,
sometimes romance, but like with a twist. Animated. We see them from all over the world, and we've been treated to. I think I've watched 11 to 12 films in the past 3 days.
That sounds about right.
And it's been amazing.
Yeah, it's a great experience. This is my first time.
It's my third. And DJ, we want to hop into talking about it, but we have a little business. We love to do it up top.
Yes.
So everyone knows who's joining us, because this is, if you're joining us live or you're watching the video coverage, this is our main episode. This will be available to everybody Monday, and just so you know, secrets, those videos, mind if I tell them?
Yeah, go for it.
Those videos, the coverage we've been doing that's exclusive to Patreon, in 1 week will be up to everybody in audio and video form that anyone can listen to, so get ready.
I believe we're going to release the audio form to the
$5 tier.
Yes.
But the
videos are going to go up on YouTube.
There you go. So get ready to check that out. Also, last announcement before we get into some business. If you live in the Austin area and you're watching just live or the video right now, we're going to be doing a little meetup at Shake Shack on South Lamar next to the Alamo Draft House at 4:30 p.m.
There you go.
Come join us. We'll be far more awake at that point.
We assume.
Yeah. And we'll have a burger, fries.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a great time. But really quick, if you're joining us for the first time or you have forgotten, you can go to onlystupidanswers.com to find all the info you need about our podcast, like where to listen to us, like
our social media.
There you go.
Yeah.
Only Stupid Answers on Twitter.
Ring out the vowels from Stupid, but also on Reddit.
Reddit.com/r/ Only Stupid Answers.
Boom.
You can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play Music.
Everywhere.
iHeartRadio. Everywhere. But really quick, we want to read a quick review from iTunes, because we like doing that, because we like giving shout-outs to people who write those. We appreciate when you guys do.
Five-star reviews. We love it.
Uh-huh. Kick it off, Deej.
Oh, you know what, Sam? I think I will. Only Stupid Answer. Only Stupid Awesome. 5 stars.
Play on the words a little bit.
Best hype man ever. this podcast is like an awesome couch. Y'all are sofa king awesome. That you might be the best hype man. You might actually. That might be accurate advertising right there.
Should he be our hype man? We'll be in touch.
Yeah.
We'll be in touch. We also got one here from Troy's Hermers.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was Hermenez, but it's Hermers. The best of all boy people. 5 stars. Thank you so much. Sam and DJ are the best podcasters out there. Not doing great on my end. They have great chemistry and bromance and are the best boys there are. Recently, I dated a girl who broke up with me because I was into geeky, nerdy things. So I put all my collectibles in a box and stored my comics in the closet because I thought I was too old for this stuff. But it wasn't for these collectibles, comics, and movies. But But because of people like Sam and DJ and many others, I know for an absolute fact that it's okay to be a geek, and I'm freaking proud. But because of this podcast, I've gotten back into comics and forgotten how addictive it was buying all comics and collectibles. Thanks, boys. You're welcome, Troy Hermers. Buying comics is addictive.
Yeah.
We'll have a group for everybody. Mm-hmm. We can all talk about it. But today, we're talking about something else.
We're talking about Fantastic.
The Punisher trailer. Let's ruin an episode and just talk about that
for the whole time.
Here's my thoughts on it real quick. It was really cool.
Yep.
Very violent.
Yes. Very excited.
But also from all the violence we've seen at Fantastic Fest in the movies, I'm like, this is nothing.
Yeah, especially the movie we saw last night, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
I know. I'm so excited. We do have to do a little bit of spoiler talk for a couple of these movies because there is so much fun stuff to talk about.
Oh, man.
But first fun thing. Guys, when you travel, there things are bound to go wrong in some way. Like you forget your brush.
Yes.
You forget undies.
Yes.
Maybe you have one shoe.
I don't know where this is going.
Well, sometimes just things go wrong.
Yes.
And sometimes you can book a whole Airbnb. Then you arrive and you realize that it's illegal.
Yeah. They kept using the phrase illegal. It was against the complex's rules.
Well, to be fair, she was also pointing and screaming that at us as we were trying to leave the building, and it was just like, "Okay, we get it.
If you book an Airbnb and it's in an apartment building, maybe call the complex to make sure that they're not going to kick you out.
Yeah, if it's a more upscale, newer.
Man, their offices were insane.
Yeah, it was really cool. Basically, we got a really nice Airbnb. Mm-hmm. We're staying with Stephen Brie, who have been awesome. And this has been an amazing festival overall, but it's been very cool to stay with them and hang with them. But we were able to book an apartment suite with plenty of beds for all four of us, like a block away, like 5 minutes walking.
Oh, been so convenient.
The Alamo Draft House. Even if you drive by the Draft House, you know what we're talking about. It's just down the street. And we got there, and as we were, if you guys don't know, on Airbnb, you can use an app and you can book your stay through there, and you can message the person who owns the place. About 30 minutes before we were heading to our place, because we just landed, we got our badges, we were walking down the street.
Yeah.
The man who owned the establishment stopped talking to us. We're like, whatever, we kind of know the rough idea of where this unit is. We'll just go wait there.
And there wasn't like a drop off for the key. There wasn't. We had to meet up with this person, and he was communis non gratis. Whatever, you know what I mean.
I like Latin.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know if that was Latin that I just said. But it was going. I was going for it.
I'm the people. Like I'm the simple people that would
communis non gratis. I don't know. I said it wrong. I'm 90% sure I said it wrong.
Let us know on Twitter. Yeah. But he stopped talking to us. So we waited around the area we thought we should be, and we were sitting down inside this like stairwell.
It didn't help that the whole place was under construction, so getting inside.
No, there was one door that happened to open and we just went inside. We were waiting to hear back. People kept asking us. We're like, we're staying in Airbnb, we're just waiting to see if they can get back to us. Finally a woman came, and she like did like the hey sport and kind of like got down on her knee, and she's like, so I'm so sorry, but in their lease contract, when they rent from us, if they agree to never do an Airbnb, and if they do, they have a chance of being evicted. And this is not this man's first time doing this. Also, he has over four other units in this apartment complex. Where you're like, when you look at how expensive this is, I think he has it with another person, but like,
yeah, probably
this is crazy. Oh. And then another woman showed up
as we were being like escorted out of the building
to the main office.
Yeah, the other woman was being cagier about it than we were. She was like, "Oh, I'm meeting a friend. He said he was in a traffic accident, but I'm not able to get a hold of him." So she's like, "Come to the office too." And once we explained our situation again to the lady, she was leasing manager.
Yeah,
she was like, "Oh, that's my situation too." Hold on, bitch. What the fuck?
I think she got the memo though, because you're not supposed to have Airbnbs. And there have been times when, like being completely honest, if we were informed of like, hey, maybe don't say we are like staying in an Airbnb, and then like be cool about it. You know, like don't bring it up. Then we. would have probably been like, it would have been like, this wouldn't have been a problem, but because this guy was not here, it caused a huge problem.
I've been, you know, I've thought about the scamminess of the situation. I do wonder if, like, he had the system going and he did legitimately get in a car accident.
Yeah, so...
And that threw off his whole, like, scheme.
We got a phone call as, like, we were talking to the people at the apartment complex who were really cool. And they were very nice.
Yeah, she was actually... When she came in, I'm like, this is going to be rough. But they were very supportive. They actually had, again, a descriptor of how nice this building was. They had, like, a guest suite.
But like most apartments that are newer and nicer, they have like a showroom.
Yeah.
That's not what they were offering
us.
No,
this was straight up a guest suite. And so she was very understanding that we weren't trying to screw anybody over, and very helpful to us.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And the man called Steve. And the one who owned the place, and he was like, "Hey man, what are you doing? Like, you're not supposed to say anything. It says it in the Airbnb contract." And like, Steve was like, "You know what? Being completely honest, if that was written in there, we would have been smarter about this, or we wouldn't have stayed here. Yeah. Like, that's super shady." And he was like, "You know what?" He's like, "Just leave." And we're like, "What?" He's like, "What?" He's like, "Just leave, and you know, I'll come pick you up, but you can still stay there." And it's like, "No, man, I think you're getting evicted. Like, you apparently have done this before or whatever." Like,
yeah, they are not having it.
But in the time frame of that, Airbnb completely refunded us, and then we found a whole house.
Yay!
That was, it's further away by like 40 minutes walking, but 10 minute drive.
Yeah.
And full house. And separate rooms for everybody.
Yeah.
So it's very nice. Pretty cool.
And this are the set that you see today was here set up waiting for us.
They had it. They had the mics and everything. Yeah. I didn't even have to unpack. They had all my clothes.
No.
All my sizes, too. We should get out of here. They just saw our photos really quick. He's like, go buy. Go to Hot Topic.
Exactly. This is what they need.
So overall, though, like that, it worked out that we got pretty awesome digs now. And like we did some grocery shopping, we got breakfast stuff.
So
it's pretty cool.
This has been my first what?
It's pretty cool. It feels like a sitcom. We're all living together.
Yeah, I know.
Getting the hijinks. Not really. We're just loud ass bugs outside that sound like a siren.
And there are like a couple red stains on my floor that might be blood. But other than that, what was I gonna say? This is my first time in Austin.
Hit us with it. What's it like?
It's lovely. The people are lovely. The town is lovely.
The food.
Yeah, it's like L.A. except dialed way back, way down.
Yeah, it's way spread out.
Yeah.
The sky's clear.
It's weird.
It's weird, right?
Oh, dude, when I go to bed and I turn off the... Because you're a little used to a little light pollution or whatever, like coming in through the... Like when I turn off my night light, blackness.
Uh-huh.
Like to the point that my eyes never even adjust. Like it's just dark.
You're
it's just
blind,
there's,
basically.
Yeah. No, seriously. There's like zero light coming into the room.
Uh-huh.
It's a different world down here in Austin, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, we went to a Mexican joint or Tex-Mex joint with some queso that was
Guillermo.
Yes.
It was so good. And yeah, you had queso for the first time.
Well, I mean not Texas queso for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it came amazing. From. The home.
The home. Where they grow it.
Yeah, where they grow it. And?
It was amazing.
Right?
It was beautiful. It was lovely. Yourself. I know.
It's addictive.
Yeah.
This is what addiction is like.
But get ready for it.
Awesome because it's queso.
Yeah.
I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, thanks,
and we checked out all the cool stores on South Congress.
Yes.
Main thing, we've been experiencing the Alamo Draft House and Fantastic Fest, so you've had all the food there.
Which was dope. I highly recommend the blue cheeseburger. I might have it again today, because today's the last day we're watching movies.
Oh.
Yeah.
And we travel tomorrow.
I know.
When they're listening to this, there's a normal episode, we've already left.
Yes.
We're already gone.
Yeah.
We're back home. no, it's... I always forget how much I just fucking love the Alamo Draft House and the Fantastic Fest, like world in general. Like you meet so many cool people, and everyone, you realize, like even if there's like actors and actresses or directors there, like everyone's there. They understand where we're at. It's not like some posh Hollywood thing. It's like this is Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
We're all here for barbecue, queso, and good movies, and it's just like...
That's what we need to figure out before we go is the barbecue situation.
Oh, man, we'll give you barbecue.
Oh, well, you believe the barbecue.
Probably get it tomorrow for lunch.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. Look at us planning.
Yeah.
No, it's just a very awesome experience, and the great people awesome. Also...
Huh? Awesome experience? That's right. I mean, puns.
Puns. And we've also met a bunch of you guys, which has been really cool. We've met people who've helped out on with the Patreon. Speaking of people joining us live, Robert Gonzalez.
We met you yesterday.
You looked very dapper. Mm-hmm. I liked your hat.
Yeah.
And you wore a Kinda Funny Games t-shirt. And your license number is...
and your social is... Uh-huh.
You had that all out. Yeah, all you out. Had that all I mean, out
that's
with not, you.
That's on you. You had it out there. We're going to say it on the podcast.
I don't think we're doing anything wrong.
Yeah, no.
That's on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, so...
That'd be good. We should make a spinoff show. That's on you.
That's on you.
Yeah.
Hey, they walked in here. That's on you.
That's on you.
They're like, it's just a... It's a sex dungeon. Hey,
that's on you, man.
That's on you. Is it labeled as a Krispy Kreme? Yeah, but that's on you. You walked in here.
So we might talk a little bit about the week in general so far, even though we got one more day as of the recording of this podcast. But Sam.
But.
Oh, the poster's coming down. You know what? That's what the kids pay for.
She's sleeping.
Sam, yesterday we saw some more movies. Do you remember what those movies were?
There's a delay on the footage, so I was waiting. Were you ready
to see it?
I wanted to see
down.
The epic fall.
Yeah.
Yes, we've seen so many.
So it's bleeding together. But yesterday's movies. Oh, the first movie we saw.
Junkhead.
Junkhead, yeah.
Yes, we did see Junkhead, and that reminded me.
What a weird movie.
Yeah, it's pretty great, though. Yeah. So it's a stop-motion film, which I will read the full description of. Just a second. Just everyone.
Hold on to your hats.
Just for a second.
If you would, please.
Junkhead. Here we go. Junkhead. It's a Japanese stop motion movie.
Cool.
Humanity is dying. It's been 1,200 years since our rebellious clone workforce moved underground, and the only way we can survive is by plunging into the depths to learn more about our terrifying creations. So, the humanity started messing with human cloning, and they started making weird hybrid creatures or mutations of things, and... Oh boy, it is a nightmare.
Yeah.
But this stop motion movie has some pretty great humor.
Yeah. I was surprised by how funny it was.
There's a joke where the main character is a dude in a robot body.
Yeah.
And he's lost his memory, but everyone thinks that they call him God because he's a human. He's a full human.
And everybody else are these clone things.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, he's God. And there's this moment where the main character gets eaten for a second. They're like, oh, God, we killed God. And they're all freaking out. And he gets vomited up and they yell, he is risen. And it's so funny.
It's fantastic.
I will always react.
So it's definitely like this homegrown stop motion film. All the characters in it it's either gibberish or it's a highly affected Japanese to where it doesn't really sound like Japanese to my dumb American ears. Yeah. I don't think it's Japanese. I think it's just a gibberish language.
I think so too. Even when you do get a glimpse of the humans, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound. Right.
But it's a really interesting, cool world that they constructed in this. I really liked. You see the different. Levels. I think you see four different levels from when before the thing's falling. You know, it falls through a level and then it stays in. You know, you see like four different levels of this clone world that's crazy, interesting, kind of a nightmare.
There's this one place where they get food, and you're like, "Oh no!
Oh yeah!
Oh no!"
I think that's the freakiest. For me, that was the freakiest. Like, This is unsettling. This is a little much for me.
What criticism? This guy, I don't know if he's actually... He may have directed a stop-motion film before.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, there needs to be some sort of pacing thing fixed or something needs to be cut.
Yeah.
Which, talking about it, there's like maybe a few things, like there's a final scene that kind of has like four endings to it. Yeah. It could be cut down.
But without the actual ending of the movie.
Yeah, there's no actual ending too. That's a big critique because it doesn't end. It just stops. And then the credits roll. But no, there's like one scene in particular where I was kind of like pulling at my face, you know? You're like, God, just finish. Because it's this one character's like, I think about sitting down. Come help me sit down. And then they turn. They look for a place to sit. This is all in a room that's very small. They walk over, cut to the seat that's in the same shot. And then they pivot to get ready to sit. Sit. Oh. And you're like, whoa, that just took so long.
Yeah.
There's so much that happens in this movie. There's no way we can spend this much time on you sitting down.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours without like a real ending. I think it could have been an hour and a half.
Good jokes, though.
Oh, fantastic jokes, fantastic world. I love the reveal on what he's been hunting for the whole time down there.
Yeah.
I love his little interactions, especially since he loses his memory. There's like a parable or fable element to it where like Pinocchio, you know what I mean? Where you know people try to like con him or whatever. All the little monsters are crazy. It's weird to find out that literally every creature down there is one of these clones.
Even the food.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's rough. I know that's how the ecosystem works, and like it's like it's rough. It's
But it's just a very I would recommend checking it out if you can find a place to stream it, because it's a very unique experience.
Yes. Yeah. There was a moment where I was like, this is dragging a little bit though.
Oh, definitely.
I kind of felt like leaving. And whenever I say I wanted to leave, I've only walked out of one movie this year. It was just that it was the first movie of the day.
Yeah.
Nothing about it was like really appealing, engaging.
And also, you have like what, 3 or 4 movies later on, so it's
So I went and got a coffee, had great. Morning.
Prioritize.
Yeah, so we saw Junkhead, which is great, and then we saw Haunters together.
Oh my goodness, I did not anticipate enjoying this movie as much as I did.
No, also, I think it's really important to go see documentaries at Fantastic Fest, especially because they always get the cool ones. They always get the ones where you're like, I would never think about watching this. Like, I watched one on Turkish cinema and how they have no copyright law, so in the 60s, they would make 2,000 films a year with only like 3 writers, 1 director, 5 actors, like 15 actors, because they have to rotate out every once in a while, and like the same costumes over and over again, and because they didn't have copyright laws, and they'd be copying the same movies that already came out, or American movies. It's amazing. Anyways, this year, though, we saw Haunters, The Art of the Scare, which is an American film, which is coming out for everybody October 3rd.
Oh, man. And check it out. Do yourself a favor.
It's worth it, because this year, this screening we did, it's the world premiere, and it was the first time the director had ever seen it on a big screen.
Yeah.
And I believe, because I was reading the credits as we were doing the Q&A, this is a Kickstarter-backed project.
Oh, is it?
Yes. This is a Kickstarter-backed project.
Very cool for him that he got it made. Yeah, that makes sense, because it's like, what studio would back this, even though it's so great? I love watching documentaries. One of my favorite things when watching documentaries is when you can tell that they had like a conceit, like what they wanted to do, and then one person or event or something just kind of like consumes the narrative a little bit, because that's where it's at. In this film, if we describe what Haunters is,
no, it's about to. Yeah,
do it up.
So Haunters is a deep dive into haunted house culture, which is not just creating the haunts, but also the people who scare, and the evolution of it from. In the 50s, where churches used to were the big makers of haunted houses, which is great, and it was a way to like get the community together and give the kids like something fun to do during the holidays. To like Blackout, where like those haunted houses, we have to like sign waivers and they can touch you and fuck with you. And I've seen some footage of those. Those are not Blackout, but one we'll talk about in a second, where I've seen footage of the McCamey house, and it's looks like hell.
Yeah, so, well, that's what I was going with. So he dives a little bit into, you know, Universal's Halloween Horror Nights, a little bit into places like Delusion, the things that kind of blur the lines between escape rooms and haunted houses, and there's a narrative element to it. But a primary a lot of the focus goes towards People like Char, who is a longtime scare that goes, just this is what she does in her spare time. 40
plus years. Yeah.
She was amazing. But a lot of people that do homegrown haunted houses. And one in particular is this McCamey house that it's, I'm shocked that they've never been sued.
Which was a big question. There was a lawyer in the audience who was like, how, they all have to sign waivers, but the McCamey house, if you guys don't know, there's more extreme haunted houses where they can like touch you and like basically torture you and that's what you're signing up for. But in the and they all have safety words. That's important. In the McCamey house, you do not. You do not have a way of leaving this until it's done.
Yeah.
And that's what I hate.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's like, you're basically, like, they're showing footage, and people are basically being waterboarded, and you're like, oh, DJ, you're using an exaggerated term to emphasize how rough it is. Legitimately, it looks like these people are being basically waterboarded.
No, it's a 2-foot... It's basically a coffin-sized container with a cage over the top so that you can't get out, but you can put your head up to breathe a little bit, and then someone reaches through and pushes your head down.
He tells his workers, like, if they vomit, you grab the vomit, you put it back in their face. Mm-hmm. And you see that. It's a nightmare. And it's funny because they go, the gentleman who runs this is a guy by the name of Russ.
Yeah.
When you go into who he is as a person, like, if you were to meet him at the grocery store, when you find out what he does for a living, it's amazing. Anyway,
Great editing.
He seems like a pretty cool dude that's fun to be around, but like, the more they go into what happens at the house, and then because there's one of two reactions to the house. Either the people that look back at their footage were legitimately frustrated. They remember the experience and were very frustrated. Or you get the people that it's kind of like a hazing thing where now they want to do that to other people.
There was a line that really, the director even brought it up because it sticks out. A woman went through it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards she said, can I volunteer? Can I be one of the scarers? And they asked why. And she's like, because I want to hurt. Sorry. I want to scare my friends.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, that's some weird closed loop, oppressive, abusive shit right there. That like if. Because all this shit's really fucked up. Like, I don't know about you, but I enjoy haunted houses.
Yeah.
Like, normal ones, like Halloween Horror Nights, they go bananas with what they do, and I love how creative they get every single year. But it's, I love it for me. I don't love it because I'm with friends who are pissing themselves.
No.
Like, selfish of me, all right? Yeah. I'm like, I'm not scaring them. But, like, I don't quite get that that appeal.
Yeah,
it's like hazing that you brought that up. Yeah,
there's other home people that do their home builds, and we see a lot. The one that did the skeleton, the skull in the forest, and stuff like that.
Yeah, people sometimes like rent out areas. We followed the main people in the movie were Russ, another. I'm blanking on his name. He lives in Fullerton, and he built like one of those haunted houses in his front yard, and it goes around the back of his house. Which,
with his wife, who really doesn't like that he's building haunted houses,
and that was like kind of a cool narrative thing for them. But when you're watching it, it's like this couple might not work if this guy literally just like lives and breathes Halloween.
Yeah,
you may have messed up here. Yeah. Like this sucks. Whoops. Yeah, if you really hate something that he does, talks about on a daily basis.
Yeah,
that's tough. But there's a cool arc for them. Well, again, October 3rd, digital release. Yeah, it's really worth it. Or Blu-ray too, maybe. But anyways, I did want to say what was something that was really cool. I don't remember. But you can go and look up the McCamey House, McKamey.
Yeah.
You can look it up and you can see the videos that he makes because he's... Russ is obsessed with...
Yeah, he's real into that.
Those videos.
But on the positive note, then you've got the long-term scare Char, who's... I really liked her story a lot. There's just a lot of... This is another cool thing with documentaries. This is a topic that I would have given almost zero thought to. But you got somebody that really cared about it, really wanted to investigate it, and found people whose lives revolve around this. And it's very informative and very interesting. It's a cool, there's a very obvious affection for these people in this community, and it's infectious. Like I ended up like really caring about these people. Highly recommend Haunters.
Yeah. It's as soon as you can get your hands on it, go watch it. And also perfect for Halloween.
Yay.
And it does make me want to, I I do need to get my tickets for Universal Halloween Horror Nights because mm-hmm. it is so much fun.
It is fun, but lines are long.
They are, but it's worth it. Usually it's worth it.
Yeah.
Usually it's worth it. And yeah, so that was a really good one we were able to see yesterday. I took a break after that, and you caught up with your friends. So yeah. On my list was 1922, but that will be a Netflix release starring Thomas Jane. It's a Stephen King short that they turned into a movie. It's good. It's a period piece in 1922 about a man kind of confessing to the murder of his wife, but it's kind of done in a Twilight Zone style.
Steve liked it.
Yeah.
Steve saw it and he was a fan.
So keep an eye out for that. But then we both saw...
Oh, my goodness.
I think it's my second favorite movie of the con.
Interesting.
Of the festival. But... it's a very close second.
Yeah.
It's mere. There's just a
hair's breath away.
But turtle's breath away. This is Brawl in Cell Block 99 by S. Craig Zoller,
mm-hmm.
Who did
Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, one of DJ's faves.
I love Bone Tomahawk. If you haven't seen Bone Tomahawk, it's on Amazon Prime streaming. Highly recommend it. Yeah, Brawl. Brawl's great.
Here's a quick synopsis.
Yes.
S. Craig Zoller, Bone Tomahawk, returns with his sophomore feature, Brawl in Cell Block 99. An exhilarating exercise in analog violence, Cell Block follows the brutal exploits of a former boxer who finds himself incarcerated after a drug deal goes wrong. Trapped in a maximum security facility, he must fight to stay alive and to protect those he loves. Pretty much sums it up. This movie... might be the most violent movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and
that's because you haven't seen Bone Tomahawk.
I have not, but also it might not be. I may have seen more violent movies. Oh my god, this is the best stretch in the world. Yeah. There we go, guys. It's early.
Yeah.
All right. It's just how it escalates.
Yeah,
and that all of a sudden you're like you're getting a normal fight where you might see like through a sleeve you might see an arm bend the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh no. We're seeing something I've never seen before. I audibly screamed. I did a yipe. I did like I couldn't help it, but everyone I was sitting next to did the same thing.
Yeah.
When the brutality happens at the end, you get like one shocking thing, then another shocking thing, and then by the third one is when I did turn around and I faced the chair for a second. I was like, I just need to breathe and then turn around. But I'm not scared of it. I'm just I'm overwhelmed, and I had to keep watching because this movie was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. It was. It starts off in a kind of grounded place. It stars Vince Vaughn as
which guys? Trust us.
Yeah,
he kills it.
He does a great job. He plays Bradley.
Bradley.
Drug deal goes wrong. He goes to prison, and it starts off in a relatively, for movie terms, grounded scenario.
You get a little origin of why he became a drug runner.
You get a background with his family, with his wife, who's really great. And in the scene where the drug deal goes wrong, I thought was really interesting, like a really different take on how that happens, which I really appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Like this dude is a good dude.
Yeah, ish.
Ish. Ish. There ish, you go. Yeah, ish. Yeah. Because you're like, more that he has a very strong moral compass.
Yeah.
And because you're watching it, you're like, yeah, this makes sense. He's a good guy.
And it also makes sense. He's also brutal, we find out later, brutally pragmatic. Like, there's not a lot of like, that's one thing I love is things keep getting more and more out of hand. He very much is like, well, I got to do this now. There's not a lot of hemming and hawing. It's like, well, I guess I'm going to do this now.
Yeah.
You know, every when he's faced with like every challenge, like, well, like the way he even not fight stuff, it's like, well, this is what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He doesn't have time to complain about it.
Yeah.
He's just like, he sure as shit does not want to be there, but there's nothing he can do about it.
But as the situation becomes heightened, like each level, it's a little bit, not even a little bit, it gets crazier to the point where it's like, it's full on midnight movie. Like,
when you say that, what do you mean by that?
Just something that would be released like a grindhouse picture, or be like an old B movie that you'd see that would only play in theaters where like you'd either get like triple X movies or movies that are this violent. The stuff that Grindhouse was kind of lampooning, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. This movie is not rated yet.
No, I don't think it'll ever be.
I really want it to be. I feel like it'd be wide release because Bone Tomahawk at least got nominated for Oscars.
No, it didn't.
Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges. No.
No.
Who's in that? Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell. Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
They got nominated for something.
No, I doubt it. At least not like an Oscar or something. But dude, I highly recommend it. Also, highly recommend S. Craig Zoller to direct the Mortal Kombat movie because he's got the fatalities down.
Mm-hmm.
If that gives you kind of a gauge of where the violence goes in this movie.
It's intense. It's a lot to take in.
I know my favorite movies of the festival because they are the movies that I did not once think to check my watch. Because even movies I've enjoyed, I was like, "And how much time do we have left?"
Yeah.
Just probably because there's just a lot of movies. But Cell Block, Haunters, Anna and the Apocalypse, not once.
Mm.
Not once, just was in the movie, just like loving it, every minute of it.
It wasn't nominated. You remember?
I wish I would have.
I had that mixed up with the Jeff Bridges movie that has a similar poster.
That's fair. Was it Hell or High Water?
No, it was like from a couple years ago. They're the same poster as Bone Tomahawk.
Okay.
And also Kurt Russell and Jeff Bridges look similar.
Racist. By the way, the one nitpick. And this unfortunately happens in a lot of movies in this type of genre that I really enjoy, but we maybe need to figure something out. The lone white guy taking on a bunch of people from different ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
We need to figure it out because it's not.
We've seen it
a bunch. And don't get me wrong, there are a bunch of movies I love and I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But in the future, I've seen those movies. Let's switch it up a little bit.
Agreed.
It didn't keep me from loving this movie.
No, and it's great. I think he's just a good Southern boy that knows what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I love my family. There's a scene where he has to talk with his wife.
Yeah.
And she's done something that's like made him angry. So you get a moment of like him exercising that anger in a physical way, not towards her, but in a really cool way that really paints a picture of what he's capable of. But in an also comedic way, which it's amazing. So if you can get your hands on this movie, highly recommend it. But then he sits down with her and he's clearly upset.
Yeah.
But he's not like pointing a finger. He's like, how do we fix this?
Yeah.
And he's like, can we fix it?
Yeah.
In his eyes, yes, he can, and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
If she's on board, and she is. And so I was just like, wow, this is like not what I expected. This is not what I... And Vince Vaughn was at Fantastic Fest, and he said the same thing. He was like, I didn't expect that scene to go that way because Hollywood movies usually take a way different turn.
Yeah. So, that was a great moment. The Q&A with him and Zucca Zoller had a lot of cool things to say. Udo Kier was there,
mm-hmm.
who's been in a lot of famous European horror films, and just he's been all over.
Mm-hmm.
But like Vince, it reminded me of Comic-Con when you'd have like a real like AAA celebrity on there, and you see why they are as successful as they are, because he was magnetic, and he also handled the guy that did the introduction is amazing. He's my favorite introducer, but we were in another theater.
Yeah.
And so he was supposed to repeat the questions, and I think maybe he was a little starstruck and he forgot to.
Uh-huh.
And so like Vince Vaughn started like saying what the questions were before he was answering, and it's like, you're the best. And I saw an interview with him before.
He's on the stage, right?
Yeah, he was being interviewed by Leonard Maltin in the Highball.
Very cool.
Yeah, but damn it, go see that movie. Go, if it's playing in a theater, definitely go see it. I have a feeling it's going to be, most of you are probably going to be able to see it through on demand. Take the time. Take the time. Unless you're a little bit squeamy, because it is violent.
Oh.
It is so fucking violent.
I don't think that really does it justice. It's like itchy and scratchy at one point.
Yeah.
You didn't watch Simpsons, but like, you know the
reference. I know the bit, yeah.
Yeah, it does get to that level, but it's live action, so you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
But
the fights are great. The fights are great. They're expertly choreographed. They're so
also
cool.
Vince Vaughn is like actually a boxer and a mixed martial artist, and he's now taking jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And the way this is shot, I really like it more than a lot of the action that's in like John Wick and everything, because not that John Wick's bad in any way. I'm just saying when you watch it, it's choreographed.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing, but you know.
Yeah.
And this, yes, it's choreographed, but because of how visceral it is, you're like, I'm scared. Yeah. I'm more threatened by this.
Yeah.
Also, Vince Vaughn's huge.
He's huge. They really play up his height in a really cool way. And another thing I love about this in Bone Tomahawk is just the dialogue. The way the dialogue works is just very, it's nice. It's got a nice, unique rhythm. And I think that's really important in dialogue is the rhythm of it. And the words that are used, it sets up a really cool scenario. I can't wait to watch it again. Very excited for when it comes out, however it's released.
Agreed. Now,
yes,
it's important because we have a couple questions here from Twitter. And I think we should, this is segueing perfectly. Robert Gonzalez,
yes.
Shout out for joining live and tweeting at us. What's your favorite film so far? Now let's do it. Maybe like a top three. Let's do
there
a
you
top
go.
Three.
Top three is easy for me.
Easy.
Cause again, I didn't check my watch. It's Cell Block, Haunters, and Anna and the Apocalypse.
Now, in that order, or is it kind of...
No, just, I can't, I don't know if I could choose an order. Mm-hmm. It would be between Anna and Cell Block. Mm-hmm. Even though I love Cell Block, I will admit that I enjoyed Bone Tomahawk more.
Yeah.
If you're not making me pick one, it makes it a lot easier. Those are the top three for me.
All right, I'll do my three and see if you can pick your one, because mine is very similar, Anna and the Apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
Fuck, is that music great?
It's magical.
Guys, for who didn't get to watch the episode, Anna and the Apocalypse is a zombie musical set during Christmas in Ireland. So you get all the accents and everything. Scotland. I will always mix those up.
I get it. I don't blame you.
But it has some of the catchiest musical songs I've heard in a long time. No, I've not listened to Hamilton. I'm waiting until I see it live.
I admire that, by the way. I don't know if I've said that. I admire your dedication
to
waiting.
It's so cool to listen to all the music live. Anyways, Anna and the Apocalypse, so good. We also saw the world premiere, and I think it's going to get a wide release based on the press.
I would be shocked if it didn't.
Brawl and Cell Block 99 is in my top three. And then Three Football and Soul, which I talked about in the first episode. And I have not met another person who's seen this, but I was going to say, well, you can check it out here. I was going to say a press link. You can't. Yeah. No one can watch
that. Nope. You'd get in big trouble if you did that.
I couldn't do that. No. But there's sometimes if we can't make a movie, but we want to talk about it, there's a place we can go and watch them. But anyways, I was able to see Three Football and Soul in theaters. And then afterwards, there was a Q&A with the writer, the director, the cinematographer, the editor, and the person who scored it.
Yeah.
Which is the same person. Uh-huh. It's all one dude. And he didn't speak English. He spoke Japanese. And his interpreter definitely wrote down on her resume that she could translate Japanese. But really, it was like she could translate basic Japanese, because sometimes she would use phrases that was like, oh, I don't know how to translate, basically big feeling, and you're like, that's not what he said. He said a whole sentence. Like, he don't make it like that. And then people laugh and you could kind of see he kind of like did a nod, and you're like, okay, he's just playing along because he doesn't get what happened. Which is funny. I have a story for you about that in a second too. But no, Three Football and Soul is a Japanese film. It's about a suicide club, which is something that is happening a lot in Japan right now. Yeah. It's a big problem where people meet in chat rooms and they plan group suicides. That's terrifying and it's very sad. But this movie was made by this man because he said that if I can show this to one person, stop them from killing themselves, then I did my job.
Yeah, and that's very admirable.
This movie is that. It is a mix of... It's about four people who are going to die by explosive. And one of the guys is a firework maker.
Yeah.
So it's this giant... 300-pound bomb. Yeah. Firework. That they're all going to sit around. And for some reason, these people get caught in a time loop.
Yeah.
Whenever it detonates. And it causes the characters... At first, it's very comedic. It's like it's Groundhog Day on a very smaller scale. And other people get wrapped up into it too, which is very
fun.
That's
dope.
Which I kind of wish Groundhog Day did if it had like one person that also got caught up into it. But never mind. Groundhog Day is perfect. no, but it obviously you're going to have to start unpacking what these people are going through.
Yeah.
And... They do it in a really creative way, and the main goal of the movie, I won't say because that's the point of the movie. It's very complicated. It's very complicated. It's right, but it's right for the wrong reasons. I don't know how else to say it, but when you see it, you'd understand what I mean. But I bawled. And I've never cried at... I teared up when I saw Red Turtle.
Yeah.
But I cried in this. Because it could be where I'm at right now in life, or just that, like, I mean, I feel like a lot of people have dealt with suicide in some form, yes. like through a family member or a friend, or maybe absolutely. You've had some thoughts. So they nail it.
Yeah.
And then the when you get... You kind of, like, you play with that idea.
Yeah.
You get something extra at the end that the normal film that could deal with this wouldn't do.
Yeah.
Which I love, which was, so, it was beautiful.
I'm very thankful that I have the ability to go and watch it through our press screeners.
I'm bummed because it really meant something to me, and I feel like I could hype it up too much, but it really...
I'm excited to check it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that that's still your favorite film of the
fest.
I had
so much fun watching Brawl, but I think the perfect balance was 3 Football and Souls.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and if you guys can find it, highly recommend it.
It comes recommended straight from Same Boy,
mm-hmm.
right there. If I had to pick one, maybe Brawl, just because it's everything I want my movies to be.
Yeah, I get it. No, it's a treasure.
But Anna Apocalypse and Haunters are both real special. And I was very pleasantly surprised by both of those films. We have a question here. Speaking of perfect questions that lead us to things that we want to talk about, Maggie Whitmer at MagMouseketeer, would you fight in one of the Fantastic Debates? If you don't know what the Fantastic Debates are, Sam, would you tell them about it?
You got it. It is the nerdiest, most badass version of debating you could possibly think of, because it's all about, you get an awesome announcer, but also there's multiple fights where two people go into the ring and they debate a nerdy topic. Like my favorite from past years, Creed versus Creed. Creed the movie versus Creed the band, which is better. Nope. Who do you think won?
Yeah.
Who do you think won?
I would say Creed the movie.
Creed the band.
Oh, damn it.
Because also you got to read the audience. Because it's like, of course they root for the bad answer.
Yeah,
like,
the last one that was last night was Paul W.S. Anderson versus Paul Thomas Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Who's better?
I hope Paul W.S. Anderson
won. Yeah, Paul W.S. Anderson directed the Resident Evil movies. Paul Thomas Anderson did There Will Be Blood.
It's indistinguishable.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're basically the same dude. Could be. I've never
Paul
seen
W.S.
him.
Anderson did do Event Horizon, which is pretty amazing.
That movie is... He wanted to do Alien so bad, mm-hmm. so he made Event Horizon.
Yeah.
They're very fun, and after two rounds of actual debating, they put on boxing gloves and they fight.
Yes.
And it was great. And we were talking about this last night, about like what song we'd go out to. Would you? But the question is from Maggie, would you fight?
Of course.
Yes, definitely. Would I want to fight DJ? No, he's very tall. But I would do it. And also, it's good fun, but sometimes people get a little drunk and they actually like, or they don't like each other and they're down to debate each other.
Yeah.
Which is also fun, because you're like, oh shit, this is like,
yeah.
this is like what people like wrestling, like,
yeah.
because you're getting into it. It's always just fucking fun. And last year Dolph Lundgren came out and introduced one of the fights.
Yeah, like, oh, last night they actually did a debate of is Christopher Lee the greatest Dracula ever? And of course, Udo Kier was there for Brawl and Cell Block,
and
he's played Dracula.
Yeah.
And so of course, his argument is that no, Christopher Lee is not the greatest Dracula, because obviously I play Dracula.
Yeah.
And that announcer, I can't remember his name, he debated for Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Udo Kier was a blast.
Yeah,
he was amazing.
He was having so much. He was dancing and jumping around. You're like, oh, he's a good dude.
Yeah, this guy's a good dude. He's got good energy.
And then one of the best actors from the movie came out to fight in his place.
Yeah.
Versus the guy who owned the gym we were at.
So yeah.
You're like, oh Jesus, this is like a real... They're very strong men on stage right now. We were talking about what our music would be that we come out to, because everyone has a song. Did you figure out what you'd like?
I think I would choose the song, the main theme song that goes with harmonica in the character Harmonica in Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh.
I know it should be like, oh, a joke. Like, I feel like...
No, it doesn't have to be.
I know it doesn't have to be, but it's like that movie maybe is definitely one of my favorite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's cool. So I'd like to... That would be my choice, probably.
Speaking of things that are my our favorite.
Yeah.
Hey Arnold theme song is mine. Because also, it's got like this jazzy feel to it.
Yeah.
And then that's, I feel like I'll come out with like a, you know, like a fedora, like, or like a really like a kind of like one of those wide brim hats with like a feather in it. And I got like a, jacket over my shoulder, and I'm kind of like doing like a slicka, you know, like one of those like slow walks. But also got a crew of guys that look exactly the same, but in different colored hats and jackets. It's very important. I have a whole thing.
Yeah, you have a whole bit planned. Do you know what your debate would be? What you think you'd be pulled in on?
Talk about the merits of Hey Arnold.
Yeah,
and,
perfect.
How I'm already off to a great start if I have that song. No, I don't know. I haven't thought about the topic I'd want to do. But they do come up with some, and sometimes they task you to come up with them. And there was one last night that was not the most fun to watch.
But it was important, especially with...
everything going on. Yeah. Just... didn't want to be that guy. That was in the ring as well.
Props to him for being. It was definitely a straw man thing. But like it was I get why they were going for it.
Was important. So, which is cool. But you guys can look into the Fantastic Debates to figure out what it is.
We live streamed it from the Only Stupid Answers Instagram.
And somebody complained that there were too many live streams. I'm sorry, you don't like multi-angle?
Yeah.
Go get all your multiple phones from all your family members and just turn it on.
Yeah, you get a full 360 experience.
How cool. You're welcome. That's crazy.
We got one last question, Sam, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up because we got more movies to go see.
We do.
Blade of the Immortal. I'm so excited about it. Lily Mason at That Lily Mason. She's That Lily Mason. Favorite, least favorite thing about Fantastic Fest. Let's not do least favorite. Come on. Where's this positive? We're having a good time here. Sam, what's your favorite thing about Fantastic Fest?
Least favorite thing. I got a bug bite on the back of my ankle. Uh-huh. So... fuck you, Fantastic Fest, for that. That was very mean of you.
Clearly on you.
This festival, goddamn, it's a treasure. And favorite thing, I think it's the amount of work they go into making this theater. Not only picking the films, because they go through a shit ton of movies to pick them, but that with the theater experience. It's like you, as soon as you walk in, it's playing just a loop of this weird. Basically, the goal is find weird shit on the internet, like weird old movies or foreign stuff or training videos or music videos, and just play them. That's always fun. And then you get a short and you get someone to come and intro the movie that always has like a lot of energy, and you get like really into like cheering on the volunteers and the work staff and everything, and you order your food, and I always get like some chicken fingies and fries because I'm 6 years old. I'm this many years old. And then you get into the movie and it's like everyone's respectful. No one's talking. You turn off your phone. If they see your phone, like, or if you get a complaint, because
they tase you, bro.
They straight up like they tase you. They take you out. They kick you out because this is like it's a special experience for everybody. And these tickets are expensive. We flew all the way over here to watch these movies. So be cool. So
be cool, bro.
The theater. But what are you? Favorite?
I mean, it's
favorite?
Probably the same. It's probably the same. No, my favorite is probably it's either that the experience or just the movies, just seeing the movies. I think I've done really well seeing the movies. I like the vibe that Fantastic Fest is going for. Mm-hmm. I hope I think they're in a cool opportunity to be bigger and better and even more inclusive and everything in the future. I'm excited to see where they. Well, I hope we get to keep doing this because it's a cool experience. It's cool to go to a film festival. This is my first time going to a film festival.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Good
one to go to. So it's very inspirational. I like the Q&As a lot. I find them very informative. I like hearing about where people are coming from and what inspired them to do this stuff. Man, it's a dope experience. I'm glad we got to do it.
Very cool.
The thing I don't like, least favorite, a little bit of humidity in the air. I thought I escaped by moving to LA. All right, I don't even want to kiss of that shit anymore.
I get sweaty. My hair curls.
My hair just curls.
I think we're coming to an end.
Yeah,
we gotta get ready to go watch some movies. But guys,
what are you excited for today? What are you most excited for
let
today?
Let me check my lineup really quick because I have it saved.
If you go to our Patreon, actually, by the time this is live, 9 a.m. Ooh, I guess. Midwest time we'll be doing our live stream of our last live stream from Fantastic Fest on Monday, which is the day this episode goes up.
So
stay tuned for that, and we'll be discussing movies including the one that Sam's most excited for.
Professor Marston and the Wonder Women.
Yeah, it's kind of behind the scenes of Wonder Woman.
Creating the comic book character. Also, I'm very excited for Mom and Dad, which stars Nick Cage,
and Selma Blair.
I don't know what the movie's about.
Yeah.
But I've heard some good buzz. You don't know. I know everyone talks about like, oh, we shouldn't watch trailers anymore and just watch movies blind. And everyone's like, I'm still gonna watch the trailers.
Yeah.
With these though, these movies, it's sometimes impossible to find a trailer for it. So when you go in, you're like, no, this is actually blind, and this is so cool.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to get a treat. Junkhead, not a goddamn clue what that movie was gonna be about, and it turned out to be magical.
Yeah. So for me, I'm excited for Blade of the Immortal, which is Takeshi Miike's. I probably pronounced that wrong. I'm so sorry.
He tried, though.
It's 100th movie. How did he accomplish it? It's a mystery. I don't know. Good for him. That's actually what we're going to go see basically right now. Very excited for that.
Very excited. Guys, thank you so much for joining us, especially everyone on Patreon who joined us live, but also has been watching all of our coverage for Fantastic Fest. And thank you to everyone who supports us in any other way that you can.
You guys are the best, man. Seriously, for real, you guys are the best.
I appreciate you guys and appreciate seeing you guys here. But also, if you want to check out our coverage, don't worry, keep an eye on our YouTube channel, because the video version of that will be coming out later this week. And if you're on our $5 tier, you'll be getting audio versions of those talks.
Yes.
And we recorded them.
Because we know that's sometimes more convenient for you boys and girls.
Yeah, you like it. Make sure you guys go check out onlystupidanswers.com for all the places to follow us. Also, all the places to listen to us, because you guys want options. We want to give you options. And for people watching live, see you 4:30 today at Shake Shack, South Lamar, and we'll have a burger together. But also, we can plan maybe other stuff like that. Also, little tease. We got a lot of stuff planned for October.
Oh yeah, man, we got some exciting stuff that we're going to need to figure out right when we.
Well, I got some. There's going to be some tweets out next week when we get, or Monday when we start traveling back, because I can't focus on anything else when we watch movies.
Yeah.
So get ready for that. Lots of spooky stuff, if I may say that. So I'm very excited.
Okay, guys and dolls, take care. We will see you tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Anyway.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.